Welcome to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, or you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. How are you? How was your week? It is officially April. Happy April 1. And I know you know what that means, right? That means that I get to geek out a little bit on a new month, a new opportunity, a restart, a refresh, a redesign of this thing called life. Now, normally, I like to talk about crushing your calendar in a new month. I talk about assigning priorities and ambitions. I talk about blocking out time for your goals and your dreams. I want to see where in your calendar you are working on the skills required to level up and in your purpose and inform your intent. Don't get me wrong, though. I still want to encourage and inspire that intention to create an April that you are proud of, one that builds up on all of the work that you have done so far this year and lands you in May proud. But today, I want to encourage some intentional stillness, some rest, some reflection, some peace, and some faith. I was talking to a good friend, a former client of mine who just recently had a heart attack, and no one honestly was for sure if he was going to make it. And when I talked to him after, he said, Leah, you know what matters? None of it. And yet all of it. It's all just perspective. What is all of the accomplishment if there is no time to be proud? What is all of the money if you don't spend it on things that actually bring you joy, not superficial materialism? What good are friends and family if you don't take time to spend it with them and be present with them? Friends, we get one life. And yes, I love a Friday to accomplish and finish tasks, but maybe we just breathe in this day, if even for just a beat, to be grateful for this breath, grateful for this life, grateful that just like you get to choose ambition and motivation and discipline and hard work, you can choose stillness, rest, reflection, peace, and faith. The yin and yang of this life require it. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about worry and his buddies, right? Overwhelm and frustration and angst and panic. You know the ones. I shared what worry was and why we worry and how to solve for it. Today, I want to share with you not only how to solve for it, but the antidote for it. I want to share with you a few lyrics from a song called The Story of the Year. It goes like this. We need the medicine to reverse what's been done before this disease has destroyed everything we know, everything we know. All we need is a reason. All we need is right here inside us all. The only antidote consists of blood, sweat, and hope, and a blueprint to save us from all that we've become, all that we've become. All we need is right here inside us all. Friends, all we need is right here inside of us. Everything that we need to become more of who it is that we are is within us. The antidote, the remedy, the blueprint to our worry and our emotional distress and every single result in our life is faith. I know it's a big statement. It's a big promise, but I have seen it play out 1,000 times in our favor. I want to share with you some insights around this topic, but first, I want to offer that while I have an amazing relationship with God and strong beliefs around my faith, this is not necessary or required to benefit from what I want to share with you today. I had been dating a guy for a really long time. We had talked about getting married. We saw eye to eye on some things, right? And yet on other things, not quite, not even close. One topic was this idea of faith. He believed in something bigger than himself, call it nature, but certainly not God, not religion, not faith. We had numerous conversations where his logical brain trumped my ideology, my beliefs. He wanted to know where it was written. He wanted evidence. He wanted proof. He wanted it to add up. He wanted it to make sense. I remember exactly where we were on one occasion where this topic of faith came up. We were on a dinner train ride in Boone, and just like my conversations in the past, I was left holding my beliefs alone on the other side of the table. I excused myself. I went into the bathroom and I had a really tough love conversation with the big guy. I said, "God, why is it that every time I have these conversations, I feel as though you just leave, you just abandon me? Why is it that you will not give me the words to say?" I remember sobbing and frustrated, thinking, if I am to marry him, this is a deal breaker for me. I kept thinking, I want to grow up in our spirituality together. I want to raise kids who go to church on Sunday, kids that go to Sunday school. I just remember pleading with him, "Please, can you give me the words? Right? Help me find the words just this once." So I wiped my eyes and I kind of patted, underneath underneath them and my cheeks, as if to appear that I hadn't just been pouring my eyes out in the bathroom, and walked back to the table and sat down. The words came in that moment that I sat, and I asked him, "Will you love me forever?" He looked at me like I had just kind of come from another planet, confused by the question. He quickly answered, "Yeah, duh, of course I will." I asked him, "Where was it written? How could I know for sure? Where was my evidence? Where was my proof? How do you know?" He said, "Leah, I just know." I said, "That is faith. Believing in something that you have no evidence to prove is faith. It is faith that remedies worry, doubt, and fear. Faith is the belief when you have no business believing, only a willing mind and an open heart. That is what I hope you will use as you listen to the remainder of the podcast." I want to talk and break down four opportunities that I think that we can operate more from in faith. So let's start with the first one, and that is faith in amazing you. Do you have faith in you? I want you to ask yourself that. I'm sure it's super easy to have faith in your life when it all seems like it's going right, when things seem to be easy, when life is comfortable. But where does your faith go when it's not? What does your inner dialogue offer when you don't hit that deadline, when the scale doesn't show that number that you wanted, when you catch a glimpse of your naked body in the mirror? How often do you find yourself saying, "I'm so stupid. I'm not capable. I'm not good enough. People don't like me. If only I was better. I'm so disgusting. This stomach, gross. Ugh." Friends, the words that come out of our mouths are way more toxic than any food we could put in it. Why? Because our brain will go to work to prove our thoughts true. Why? Because our brain wants us to be right. So not only will it work hard to ensure that it is right, it will start looking for and collecting evidence that indeed you are not capable, that indeed people don't like you, that you are stupid, gross. The brain will filter out anything that isn't relevant or anything that might disprove your case. It isn't looking for ways that you are smart, that you're awesome, that you're enough. Nope. That doesn't support your not enough story. Guess what else it will start doing? Not only is it on the lookout for more not enough content to finish the "There is something wrong with me" trilogy, it will promptly remind you of the first and second series in it. Think of your brain like a file cabinet. Every single experience in your life is on file. So when you offer up a thought like "I suck," it will, like a Rolodex, go through every single file, every single experience where you sucked. It will cement it into the neurocircuitry of your brain. I like to think of them as chapters in my book. I'm not suggesting that your experiences are invalid or your suffering is not real. I'm not suggesting that people are always awesome and do no wrong. I am suggesting that you are the meaning maker of your experiences. You are the choice chooser. You are the director of the movie. You are the author of the next series. So what does your chapter look like? I hope that it is content rich in your awesomeness. I hope that paragraph after paragraph celebrates your capabilities. I hope you rename the series from "There is something wrong with me" or "Something has gone wrong" to "I believe in me." Please know that "I believe in me" doesn't free you from the 50-50 of this life. I think somewhere along the lines, we have lost faith in ourselves. And then we blame other people and our life for our lack of belief. I'm not suggesting that faith frees us from reality. Faith frees us from the unnecessary pain we inflict on ourselves with the meaning we give to our reality. It doesn't mean that people won't continue to be quote unquote bad. It doesn't mean that quote unquote bad things won't happen. And I'm putting "bad" in air quotes because it is your interpretation that creates your suffering. If you perceive it to be bad, it will be. It doesn't mean that your spouse won't disappoint. It means that you allow a little disappointment and not use it to confirm your not enough story. Rather, you use it to learn and grow and believe in your own becoming. It doesn't mean that your kids are all of a sudden angelic. It just means that you understand and believe that they were never supposed to be. It doesn't mean that you instantaneously are victorious of your goals, just that you believe in your capabilities to do so. What do you need to believe to become more of who it is that you want? Can you put your faith in you? Can you have faith in your capabilities, your freedom to believe in anything that you want, your power to choose to rewrite a new story for yourself, to choose to heal yourself, to choose to forgive yourself, to choose to trust yourself, to choose to have faith in yourself? Number two, faith in others. Oh, my friends, this one is needed probably more than any of the others. I probably should have saved this one for last, but where has your faith in others gone? I get it. These last 2 years have brought up a lot of fear. Fear for our life, fear for our politics, fear for our country, fear for our freedoms, fear for our safety and our health. And when fear is present, faith isn't. I'm not suggesting that faith, especially in others, is easy. I'm just saying it's required. I've coached more on relationships with other people in the last 2 years than I have on any other topic. I'm going to say combined. We are creating so much unnecessary pain and suffering for ourselves by choosing to stay disempowered. I'm not trying to invalidate you. I'm trying to empower you. So I say this with love. I get it. Husbands suck sometimes. Fathers, mothers, in-laws, siblings, neighbors, bosses, they suck. People suck at being who we want them to be. Guess what they're very good at? Being them. And just like us, they have brains and biases that inform their agency. We think that we see the world as it is, but we don't. We see it as we are in it. And guess what? So does everyone else. Meaning, everyone is right. They are. They are right in the way they experience every single situation, which means that you are right also. So now what, right? So often we allow our rightness to doubt, to disconnect, to duck our responsibility to be better. When we doubt others, judge them, we lose faith in humanity. When we disconnect from others, we lose faith in our ability to love humanity. And when we duck our responsibility to be better, we confirm this divisive nature that we are lost souls, that we are forgotten humanity. If you feel that you have lost your faith in others, I want to invite you to join us this month in Becoming. I'm going to be specifically talking about parenting, so faith in our kids, but I'm going to address the four problems that we create for ourselves as it relates to other people and the solutions. I promise you, there is way, 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 way more good in humanity than we see. Weddings, celebrations, graduations, birthdays, these are not newsworthy occasions, but nonetheless, they hold so much goodness. It's only newsworthy if it sells fear. Faith doesn't sell. And when we allow ourselves to believe that this world is divided, divided in politics, divided in religion, divided in race, in education, this is what our brains will go to look for. And guess what? That is what our brains will find. I refuse to believe this. I refuse to offer this to my brain to be true. I refuse to believe that some goodness can't be found in all of humanity. So the question is, what do you need to believe to have faith in others again? Can you believe that there's goodness in others in the world? Can you believe and become compassionate for the human story, the delicate condition that we all, each and every one of us, operate from? There is so much truth to the thought that hurt people hurt people. You can choose the stories you spin about other people. You can choose to be compassionate instead of controlling. You can choose to release your expectations of others and replace it with encouragement and empathy. You can choose to have faith in others. The question is, will you? The third place that we can operate from in faith is the one around faith in our life. Do you believe in your life? Do you believe in your ambitions, your goals, your purpose? Do you believe that you can have anything that you desire? Do you believe in the possibilities of your future? Do you believe that life happens for you rather than to you? Do you have faith in your future? So many of us look to the past to determine what is possible for our future, but there are no possibilities there. Our possibilities lay squarely in the space of our dreams, in the stillness of our becoming. Our human potential holds so much greatness, so much goodness. The advancement of all things, you guys, is mind-blowing, from education to healthcare, to technology to neuroscience. We are witnessing extraordinary proof of the possibilities that are available for us to choose. Will you choose? What is your future story? What do you believe is available for you? Do you believe that the future holds amazing things for you? Do you believe in the advancements of this time and hold space for your creation? Friends, this is not rhetoric. This is fact. I want you to have faith in that fact, right? Your desires, if allowed, become your destiny. Abundance is a story that you get to choose, and it's available. It's a choice, right? I want you to choose it for yourself. And lastly, number four, faith in something more than yourself, something more than what your senses can assume. We want proof. I get it. We want to know where it is written. We want it to add up. We experience so much unnecessary pain and mental anguish because we demand logic from an illogical universe. There are infinite possibilities for your conscious to choose from. If, and that is a big if, we allow our conscious to choose. So often, though, we aren't choosing. Rather, we're allowing our past programming to direct and orchestrate our unconscious conditioning. I'm reading Will Smith's book, and he writes, "The rules of logic do not apply to the laws of possibility." I loved that. They don't. I debated even mentioning this, but I think it's worth mentioning. I'm sure you've all heard about what happened on the Oscars. If not, here's a recap. Will Smith hit Chris Rock for a comment joke that he made about Jada, Will's wife. That's what happened. Now, there are so many opinions out there around it. Some people are making it political. Some people are making it racial. Some people are making it legal. Some people are making it ethical. So many people are spending so much energy on what any of this means. But where do you land? What is true for you? What lens are you viewing the story from? What's your angle? What's your bias? Whatever your brain is looking for, it will find proof that you are right. If you want to make it political, plenty of articles, biases, videos, etc., to make your case. Racial, same thing. Ethical, legal, same thing. I want you to ask yourself when you make your case, and you will be right by it. But the question is, does it feel right? Rarely. The human story is not simple. It is not black and white. And when I detach my biases and my sense of rightness, what I saw was a hurt Will Smith. Hurt people, right? Hurt people hurt people. The delicate condition of our humanity. It doesn't mean that we relinquish our values or our opinions, but can we hold them and hold space to be compassionate for others? Can we get to a place where we love everyone in the story? Where I love me and my opinions and my values and my beliefs, and I love Will, and I love Chris Rock, and I love Jada, and I love everyone else for their own opinions about this story? I promise you that feels so much better, and it frees me to live my life instead of judging everyone else's. How often are we trying to navigate this world using our head rather than our heart? Friends, the universe is not logical. It is magical. So when we try to operate in this way, it's like trying to get a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit. It will never fit. It doesn't work. And it is frustrating, and it confirms our bias that something indeed has gone wrong, terribly wrong. But what if nothing has gone wrong? What if we are just solving the wrong problem? The square peg is not wrong. The round hole is not wrong. The operator, AKA humans, are operating from an operating system, AKA brain, that is misguided. That's it. Nothing has gone wrong. We get into trouble when we make assumptions that our brain is operating in our favor. We get into trouble when we don't question our stories. Our stories about ourselves, our stories about others, our stories about our life, and our stories about who we are in relationship to the world, to the universe. I want you to write your story. I want you to choose your beliefs about all of these things on purpose for your benefit. What you choose to believe is optional, and I want you to choose the most empowering version of it, right? I appreciate you being here with me today. I truly believe that this movement to become more by being more is what will change this world one mindset at a time, right? If you are wanting to take what you're learning on this podcast to the next level, check out our Becoming community online at www.leahrowling.com/becoming. If you have questions with anything that you have learned here or want help with something in your life, pop on a free coaching call with me. I'll teach you some real tools for your unique situation. Just check out my website and grab a spot. Thank you for being here with me today. Have an amazing weekend, and I will see you here next Friday at 11 a.m. Central. See you soon. Mwah. Bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.